Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Tishanu B'mitzvota V'ratzavanu V'shabbat Kodesh Kol Yahovah Uvotzoy En Kilanu Zekaron lemase zereshi kehuyon tekilo lenikui kode zeyekir litziot mitzrayim kevanu baka. Yatanu kidosho meko ami Shabbat kodesh ko Yahava uvroso inkaltanu Baruch ata Yahweh Nikadei HaShabbat Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our God, King of the universe, who made us holy with his commandments and favored us and gave us his holy Shabbat, and love and favor to be our heritage. As a reminder of the creation, it is the foremost day of the holy festival, marking the exodus from Egypt. For out of all the nations, you chose us and made us holy, and you gave us your holy Shabbat, and love and favor as our heritage. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. This is your brother Ahab Al on another Shabbat evening, welcoming you to another session of study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh as a part of our Call Elohim's blog talk lineup. Excuse me. And family, I hope everybody had a blessed week, and I hope everybody is having so far a blessed Shabbat. One of the things that I love about the Shabbat is it is that time to commune with Yahweh, a time that he has set apart time for us to spend time with him. And when you read that blessing, I really love that blessing because it said he gave us the Shabbat in love and in favor. Why? Think about it, family. Our Father, our Mighty One, our Power, the one whom we call upon for mercy, for kindness, for blessings, for favor, has thought of us so much as to set apart a special day to say, hey, I'm going to spend time with you. I mean, just think about it. One of the things that that is very important to me personally is time. And one of the things that I always wish that I had personally was more time with my father. My father spent a lot of time working, you know, to the point where I missed out. I'm not sure how he felt. He's gone now. But I feel I missed out on a lot of memories that I would have liked to have had with my father. But the good thing about Yahweh is even when our earthly fathers may fail us, our Heavenly Father is always faithful. He is, as the saying goes, he is tried and he is true. And he will always come through for us at the time when we need him most. One of the things I would like to talk about tonight, family, and if anybody looked at the header for the lesson, I'll be reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st and the 32nd chapter, 31:9-2, I believe, 32, I believe, either 27, I believe. And leadership. I want to talk to the family about leadership, because leadership is very important. And the continuance of a line of leaders that are ordained by Yahweh. And it's so funny because, you know, throughout the week, I spend time as my other brothers who do a weekly show, and then I have a double portion this week because I do my weekly show, and then, you know, tomorrow I have the Shabbat teaching. So, you know, I spent a double amount of time this week thinking about, Father, what is it that you want me to say? Father, lead me and guide me. Father, you know, make the way for me. Show me the path, Father, that you want me to walk. Order my footsteps, Father, you know, so that I could do your will, Yahweh, not my will. And it's funny because I had one thing planned in my mind. And, you know, before I left work today, my brother called me. Usually my brother and I, we talk early during the day. And it's funny because my intention was to call my brother, there you are, earlier this morning. But I called my brother Ariel instead. And we had a good conversation. And in the midst of our conversation, you know, I thought that Yahweh had wanted me to talk about one thing, but then I talked to my brother Deua later on in the day, and in the midst of our conversation, Yahweh helped me to realize that he wants me to go ahead and teach this thing about the importance of leadership that is ordained by Yahweh, not just leadership, but leadership that is ordained by Yahweh, and the importance of a continuing line of leaders who are ordained by Yahweh. And we have a lot of houses out here, a lot of assemblies out here. And one of the themes from last week was that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end, and he is talking to Israel. He ain't talking to the nation. When you, especially when you deal with the quote-unquote Old Testament, when you deal with the Torah, the writings, and the prophets, he is talking to Yisrael at that time exclusively. Or you say, well, there was a mixed multitude. Well, guess what? that mixed multitude, and I think we'll see that in this chapter, were considered a part of the nation of Israel. You know, it's like the old saying goes, birds of a feather flock together. Well, you're not going to hang out with Israel if you don't have a connection to Israel. I mean, think about the situation with Ruth, you know. When she said, entreat me not to leave you, one of my favorite scriptures, one of my, by all-time favorite story. Matter of fact, one of my favorite female ancestor in the scriptures, to the point that my firstborn child, that was her middle name. I wanted to give her that as her first name, but at the time, you know, wanted to give her a name. It was an outdated name. I mean, my grandmother's name was Ruth, and we didn't want to give her a quote-unquote outdated name. So we decided to make that her middle name, Ruth, because I love Ruth, you know, because I see myself in Ruth as somebody being called out from living a lifestyle that was apart from Yisrael. And what she said was, entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. And your power, your God, will be my God. So anybody who associates with Yisrael and wants to be a part of the nation of Yisrael is truly Yisrael. Because you, by association, you're going to adopt their ways. You're going to adopt their culture. You're going to yield to their way of life. You know, and even to echo the sentiment within the quote-unquote New Testament, in the Berit HaKadoshah, you know, where we are told that the unbelieving spouse is saved by the believing spouse. So the spouse, by virtue of their connection to a believing spouse, is going to be saved, is going to receive that favor, is going to receive that blessing, even if they fight against it sometimes. Even if they don't necessarily walk in that way. I know of an individual who, through patience and her prayers and her supplications, that her spouse was to move from someone who wasn't walking this way to someone now who is a strong pillar within our congregation. That didn't happen overnight. That took years of being associated, years of being connected, years of hearing, years of little jewels and seeds of Yahweh's word being dropped upon this person over time, to the point now where this person is a strong pillar, not just a pillar, but a strong pillar among the family of Yisrael. So by that association, by that connection from the spouse, and being fervent, being steadfast, being diligent in walking this way, a spouse was saved. Someone who was considered within themselves to be a part. And when I say a part, not a part, but a part as in separated from Yisrael, was associated with it. So someone who is amongst the nation, even if they may not seem like the most devout person, if they're spending their time to glean from the fields of Yahweh's word, and to spend time among the flock, that person too will reap the benefits of being a part of Israel. He said, the stranger that dwelleth among you, that person too, he will welcome into his household. He will welcome among the flock of Israel. But again, that's not what we're talking about tonight. As thoughts come to my head, family, I got to speak on it. We are going to be speaking about, you know, the importance of leadership that is ordained by Yahweh. And back to what, you know, I was talking about originally and how it came to this point, was talking to my brother Daywell, and he had an interesting conversation with a fellow, quote-unquote fellow Yisraelite. And you know, sometimes those conversations can be very interesting, depending on what perspective those brothers are coming from. And a lot of times those coming from the more militant faction, you have to scratch your head and wonder, do y'all even read the Torah? Do y'all really spend time reading the Torah, understanding the word of Yahweh, or are you just sitting there listening to a bunch of doctrine, to a bunch of teachings that have been handed down from one person to another person that is not based on truth. It, first of all, it's not even based on sound logic, sound doctrine, let alone being based on the doggone truth. I mean, you know, listening to my brother, I really wanted to get into the conversation, but I'm at work, and, you know, work duties. I got called into doing some work duties, but I really wanted to get into the conversation with the brother because, you know, it's like, sheesh. I mean, it's really sad when, you know, the people with the loudest voices, the people with the most hits on YouTube, the people with the most sound bites that people are drawn to when they come into this way are people who do not have their the truth, period, point blank. A lot of these cats out there on YouTube, and that's why I can't get with them. I can't listen. I don't waste my time dealing with it because it's not based on the truth. All I need is one snippet from it. And once I catch that snippet and I know you ain't talking from the truth, I don't need no more because guess what? Again, the truth needs no support. The truth stands on its own, and Yahweh, first of all, this is one of the things I love about my Heavenly Father. Every falsehood that Yisrael can come up with, whether it's the Edomite doctrine, whether it's the lunar Sabbath, whether it's, you name it. You name it. Yahweh always has a fail-safe in there for those who are truly the elect. For those who are truly and sincerely, as the scriptures say, worshiping Yahweh in spirit and in truth. And what that means is that your intent and your purpose for worshiping Yahweh, your motive for worshiping Yahweh, will always be, Father, lead me and guide me in thy way, so that any step that I make, Father, will be according to thy holy word that was ordained before the foundation of this world. That word that is continually shut up in the heavens, that word that you said in the book of Isaiah that will not return unto you void, Father, but will accomplish what you set it out to do, Father. I know within my heart of hearts, is how we have always been led at Beth Yahweh Assembly by our current Moré, Yaquel, and our previous Moré of blessed memory, Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel. I know we have always been led, because you know why I know we've been led in truth, and I'm going to give a little testimony here about our little congregation here in Beth Yahweh, because we're not the biggest congregation. We ain't the loudest voice out there. We're not the biggest congregation, but I can honestly and sincerely speak this with a surety that if at any point, and this is the true sign of true and honest and sincere leadership, because some may doubt the leadership within our congregation because we don't always follow the rank and file of other people, because we're not cookie cut, because we don't walk around with the same suits on all the time, so therefore we must not be a strong congregation. One thing I can say for sure, family, that at any point, if we even think for one second we are in error about a particular thing in the word of Yahweh, spiritual leader will first seek Yahweh's face for guidance. He will present it to the congregation, the struggle that he has been having with a particular thing. He will confess what he is going through with the struggle within this particular thing. And he is not ashamed to present it before the congregation and say, I have been struggling with this particular thing. And I have been seeking Yahweh for guidance. And we have gotten together as a family in a prayer circle and pray, Yahweh, lead us and guide us. And he has always asked Yahweh. And Yahweh has never failed. 100% of the time, he has never failed that there will be another member in the congregation that will say, hey, I was thinking the same thing too. Or, hey, that thought came to my mind too. Let's look into it further. Let's pray to Yahweh and seek his face. There was a time our congregation was very Jewish in the way that we did things. And I did say Jewish, because we did things the way the Jewish people did. But as we grew and as we progressed and as we learned and continued in the way of Yahweh, and as he led us and guided us into all truth, things had to change within our congregation. Things had to change within our walk. Things had to change within our way of life. Because things that we were doing were not grounded in his instruction, wasn't grounded in the Torah. They may have been grounded in tradition. My brother did a teaching on Hanukkah and how the story that is taught about Hanukkah, the very popular fable about Hanukkah, isn't actually inaccurate. It is a false teaching. So we had to go back and relearn what we thought we knew about this feast day. But once we unlearned what we had learned before, guess what? Now we can't be deceived by it anymore. So it was a blessing. Because the thing about Yahweh's people is, one, they can't have any guile in their mouth. And when there's guile, meaning that you have falsehood in your mouth, that you have false teaching in your mouth. Because Yahweh's words have bitter and sweet waters can't come out. A lot of truth can't come out the mouth at the same time. You're either going to tell a lie or you're going to tell the truth. There's no midway point. As the popular saying goes, oh, I just told a white lie. I remember my rabbi teaching about that one time. No such thing as a white lie. It's a lie, period, point blank. It's still dirty. And I remember watching Fiddler on the Roof, and that was one of the things that Rab Tevye did in order to bring about a scheme that he was devising to break a word that he gave to somebody. He told a lie. There's never any good reason to tell a lie. No such thing as a white lie. It's always better to tell the truth, regardless of the outcome, than to lie to save face, or lie to save feelings. It's always better to tell the truth, and we will see that. But again, tonight, reading from Deuteronomy, and we're talking about the importance of leadership that is ordained by Yahweh. You know, especially amongst Yisrael, you know, you have to find a leader. And you know how you know whether or not a leader is ordained by Yahweh? Is whether or not, like Paul said, follow me as I follow the Messiah. So Paul's saying, if you see at some point I ain't following the Messiah, don't follow me. So if you got a leader or sit under somebody that you have doubts of whether or not this person is doing things according to the word, then it is very important, that you present that in a respectful way to that leader. And if that leader truly has a spirit of Yahweh and is sincere in his heart about his walk, he will make that change. He will, one, pray about it first. He will, two, investigate it second. He will, three, pray about it again. And then he will, four, once he gets that confirmation, he will then make that change. So again, the importance of leadership ordained by Yahweh. We're going to start at Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, family, the 9th verse. Talking about our forefather, our ancestor, the prophet Moshe. It says, and Moshe, Moses, wrote this law and delivered it to the priest, the son of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and unto all the elders. So we see first and foremost, after Moses wrote this law, the first people he delivered it to were the priests, his administrators, his people who are in charge of ensuring that the people are doing things based on the word of Yahweh. They are
if no one else follows the instructions, the Levites are charged with following the instructions. That is their sole purpose. They can't do no other job. They can't work. They are paid officials by the people of Yahweh. Just like how in our little system here we have senators and House of Representatives, Congress people, and all this type of stuff that our tax dollars go towards them, and that is their only job. The same thing with the Levites. This is where they get this system from. The Levites, their only purpose was to be in service to Yahweh on behalf of the people. That was their only purpose. So the first people it's delivered to is them, administrators over the nation of Israel. And then unto all the elders of Israel, the hoary heads, the ones who the younger ones need to learn from, as we read last week in the book of Titus, that the elders are extremely important amongst the nation of Israel. And that's something we have in our congregation, Zakanes, hoary heads, that try to lead and guide this knucklehead as well as the other brothers within our congregation. Because, yes, though I have elders who have seen me grow up in this congregation from a 20-year-old young man now to a 40-some-odd-year-old man, and they know my work. They know which way that I've gone. They know and understand me oftentimes better than I know and understand myself. And their experiences in life, and the fact that it's coupled with a walk within the Torah, gives them keen insight on leading and guiding. And that's very important to have. That's the second most important position amongst the nation of Israel. First and foremost is that prophet. Second is those priests. Third is those elders. Because the prophet speaks directly to Yahweh. He is the primary conduit of information about the will of Yahweh. That is what the prophet is. Then your priests, your Levites, your administrators are the second ones now, because that's who the word goes. They're the, think about it in the same manner as our government. You have the executive branch, you have the legislative branch, and you have the judicial branch. You got three branches. The executive branch is the think tank. They're the ones who have the primary responsibility of leading and guiding the nation. The legislative branch are now the ones who get together, bring about these laws, hopefully for the betterment of their quote-unquote constituents. Then you have the adjudicators. You have those whose primary responsibility is to ensure that whatever laws are brought forth are upheld. Same thing here. Deuteronomy 31:10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, and the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm not going to get into this verse, but after reading this verse, him that hath an ear, let him hear. Shows you how important that Feast of Tabernacles is. And I have to give up a confession, because I wasn't able to make it to the Feast of Tabernacles the way I normally do every year. And as a result, I don't feel like my year went that well. That's the only time of the year I ever take vacation. And I was denied because we got some things going on the job this year. And as a result, they restricted vacations. But that feast is a very important feast, very important, and one that should not be missed. Should never be missed. Not Tabernacles, not any of the feasts. But we shouldn't dismiss Tabernacles, because this is a... because of what it points to, it is a very important feast. But anyway, not getting into that either. Deuteronomy 31:11. I'm going to go back and read 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release and the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law, Torah, instruction before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Yahweh your Elohim, and observe to do all the words of this Torah. See, so this is normally what Yahweh does. He'll just gather the leaders, he'll gather the elders, gather them, but now he wants everybody from the very top, as far as rank and file, Moshe on down to the smallest child. He wants everybody to be present. Normally he just calls the men, i.e., before they went to Sinai, he told the men, don't go to your wives for 3 days. Stay away from your wives for 3 days because y'all coming to meet with me. Not so this time. He gathered all the people together. He wanted everyone to hear this. Deuteronomy 31:13. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over to Jordan to possess it. He didn't want to leave even a child with an excuse. He wanted to leave the entire nation without excuse as to exactly what he was saying. He doesn't normally do that. When you read the Torah, he does not normally do that. So this is a very special circumstance here that he wants the entire nation, even the sucklings, from the elder walking on 2 feet and a cane to the baby in arm, he wants them present for this. He didn't even do that at Sinai. Deuteronomy 31:14. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. You hear that? That I, saying Yahweh, I, Yahweh, am going to give Joshua a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And Yahweh said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them. And one of the things that you have to be mindful of, I'll tell you, Yahweh is so wise. You know, we always think about Deuteronomy 28, and that is a very important chapter, but this chapter is equally as important because, see, Yahweh had to let them know beforehand, hey, check this out. I'm going to give you all a warning. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you serve me and what's going to happen if you don't serve me. He gave them forewarning about what's going to happen because guess what? He knew what was going to take place within Israel. He knew that they were a hard-headed and stiff-necked people. He knew this. So before he even got to this point with Moses, he had to let them, because he knows. He knows how we are. His nation. I ain't even talking about human beings. He knows how his nation is. Because we're going to see we just read on. Deuteronomy 31:16. And Yahweh said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our Elohim is not among us? Deuteronomy 31:18. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, which they shall have wrought, and that they are turned unto other gods. You see, family, I felt a little beat up. I beat myself up a little bit after how I came off on Wednesday night. But the sad part about it is that was true. is no middle ground about it. You either serve Yahweh or you don't. And if you don't serve Yahweh, you are caught up in evil. Period. Period. If you are not serving Yahweh, you are serving Satan. And I hate to have to be the one to say that, but it's true. That's what his word just said. His word says this, not me. And like I said, I felt bad after the session on Wednesday night because I felt like I went a little bit too hard. I got a little bit too emotional. But sadly to say, family, that is the truth. You know, we want to look at things from a certain perspective because, hey, if you're a believer, you love people. You care about people. You care about your family. You care about your friends. These are loved ones to you. But if they're not serving Yahweh, who are they serving? Deuteronomy 31:19. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Think about it. Yahweh wrote a song.
I remember one session my brother on Blog Talk put on a Ran Juice Jones song. I saw you and him walking in the rain. But guess what, family? The brother was so hurt about the situation that took place, he wrote a song about it. Think about some of the love songs that you hear about that. Some of the best love songs are written from the perspective of a broken heart, or written from the perspective of a lover who has been wrong. And think about my brother Ariel's teaching earlier this week about Yahweh. He introduced himself to these people.
When you think about, if you're a man, the game that you use in order to woo the woman that caught your eye. I'm sure within the first three sentences, you came out and at some point said, my name is such and such. Right? Think about it. The introduction was made. You don't introduce yourself to somebody that you don't want to have some sort of dialogue or some type of relationship with. One of the things that's said out in the street is, don't call me by my government. You definitely don't want somebody to know your name because you don't know what that person's intention is. So you keep your name amongst your closest familiars so that those closest familiars, you know you can trust them. Now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So he's giving us a song that we need to sing that's going to be a witness against us. He's penning this song, and he's saying, I want the whole congregation to learn it, from elder to younger, so that way this song will be a witness in the times of distress and trouble that they're going to bring amongst themselves. 31:20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed and fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me and break my covenant. We are going to make him very upset. And I tell you, Yahweh can tolerate a lot of things, but the one thing he cannot tolerate, I mean, you think about it, man. As a person, you've ever been with somebody that you loved and cared about and you were cheated on by that person, it is the most devastating thing to your heart. If nothing else will break your heart in a relationship, that surely will. Deuteronomy 31:21. It shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befalling them, songs shall testify against them as a witness for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave it to Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. And I will be with thee. And it came to pass, 31:24, when Moshe had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, saying, take this book of the law, take this Torah, and put it in the side of the ark, the covenant of Yahweh, your Elohim, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against Yahweh. And how much more after my death? So Moses is saying right here, look, man, while I was here, and I was hardcore. I done stoned people, had people stoned. I had my own sister by the charge of Yahweh was put out the camp. I done had to have the Levites kill their own brothers because of disobedience. I had to pour hot gold down the mouths of these people. This is while I'm here with y'all. I can't imagine how buck wild y'all gonna get once I'm gone. This is what he's saying. I know y'all. I know how y'all going to get down. Once I'm gone, y'all going to really get crazy. So I got to get Joshua's mind right before y'all cross over, because he got a task at his hand. You see what's going on? Back to 31:27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiffness. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against Yahweh. And how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of Yahweh. What is that evil? Serving of the gods, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. 31:30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation the words of this song until they were ended. And he said in 32:1, now we're in 32nd chapter 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And when he says give ear to the heavens, you know what he's saying to the heavens? He's saying to the heavens, look, you know like how when you're trying to hear something and there's a whole lot of chatter going around, or when you're trying to listen intently to somebody, that you either cup your hand around their ears or that person cups their hand around their ears to get a little amplification, to add a little extra something to what they're listening to. This is exactly what he's saying now to the heavens. Put your hand by your ear, cup it, and really pay attention to what I'm telling you now. Okay? Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear. I just wish I knew the melody to this song. I really wish I knew. O earth, and I know it's not in English. It's going to be in Hebrew, of course, but I still wish I knew the melody. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear. O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Getting poetic, I love it. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh, ascribe ye greatness unto our Elohim. And when he says publish, when you think about a publication, what does a publication do? When you think of Time Magazine, when you think of Esquire, Glamour, Vogue, 16 or whatever, what's the Word Up? Back in the day, we had this magazine called Word Up. When you think about that, what is it doing? When you open up these magazines, they always have that one key article. They have that person on the cover who they're featuring. or whatever thing they are featuring, and that is chiefly what the magazine is about. Same thing here. He wants his name to be in the spotlight now. He wants his name to be front and center. He wants his renown. He wants to be on that magazine cover. Yod Hey Wahe Yahweh, our Elohim, our mighty one. He wants to be that in the spotlight right now. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Back to 32:3. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh. Ascribe ye greatness unto our mighty one. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A Elohim of truth, a mighty one of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. He that hath an ear, let him hear. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite Yahweh, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. So what he's saying here is he set the nations round about for the purpose of Israel. So when he gave the Hittites their land, when he gave the Jebusites their land, when he gave the Girgashites their land, when he gave the Philistines their land, when he gave all the nations their land, he apportioned them this land. He gave it to them, the Canaanites included. When he gave the Canaanites their land, that was apportioned by Yahweh for Yisrael's purpose. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Yaakov is a lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them beneath them on her wings. Beareth them on her wings. So Yahweh alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. You see what I'm saying, family? This is where Israel truly messed up. I dare to say that is the only thing Yahweh cares about. The fact that you worship and serve him, he don't care about nothing else. He don't care about nothing else you do in your life to some degree. I ain't saying like be all willy-nilly, but he knows at some point we're going to fall. We know at some point we're going to falter, but this is the one thing that he definitely cannot tolerate. Back to 32:12. So Yahweh alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. 32:13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Bees don't habitate in rocks. You will never find a beehive in a rock. You will never get from a Flintstone, and I don't mean the Flintstones like the comic book. I mean the cartoon characters. I'm talking about Flintstone. Flintstone is the type of stone that they use to make sharp. They would use the stone to chisel it in a way so that way it can make a sharp object. A flint was used for like circumcision, the heads of spears, stuff like that, because it could get very sharp edges on it. It was used for cutting hair. You ain't getting oil for something like that. And you're not going to get honey out of a rock. So what he's saying is, I can do the impossible for these people. I will do the impossible for these people. Deuteronomy 32:14. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. You done drank some of the, you think about some of the world's finest wineries. He's saying, I didn't gave you, what is that champagne? I didn't gave you Dom Perignon. I didn't gave you cognac. I didn't gave you the top shelf of everything. I didn't wine and dined you. I lauded you. I put all kinds of treasures and I didn't took you to the finest restaurant. Think about, you know, somebody who just goes all out. When a man really loves a woman, how much he goes all out, spares no expense for her. This is what Yahweh is saying. I done did this for y'all. 2:14. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats and with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook his Elohim, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. See, what happens is, and it makes me think about that song, I saw you and him. He said, I didn't give you the finest thing, because I didn't give you things you couldn't even pronounce. If you ever heard that song, said he gave her things she couldn't even pronounce. He's letting them know, I took y'all out the desert. I ain't take y'all out of some fancy country. You know what it's like? It's almost like, remember that show Green Acres, where the country bumpkins came into some money? You know, but like they say, you can take people out of the country, but you can't take the country out of people. They had millions of dollars because they had struck oil. They became oil tycoons, but they were so ingrained in that country life, they took the country life up into the Beverly Hills with the people who, you know, kept their pinkies up when they drank their tea, and, you know, and they lived in high society. This is basically what Yahweh is saying. I done took y'all from the desert, and I done brought y'all into a high lavish lifestyle. I done took a hood rat and turned them into these highly cultured people. This is what Yahweh is saying. Truth be told, this is what he told. I took you out the desert. When you think about circumstances back then, they didn't necessarily have ghettos back then. But when you think about the desert as opposed to a city like Egypt, the desert ain't fancy. Still to this day, I don't think anybody thinks of fancy dining in the middle of a desert. But when you think of fancy dining, you're going to think of a place like Paris, you know, maybe New York City, maybe L.A., you know, maybe Chicago, maybe South Beach, Miami. You know, that's where you might think of fine dining, fine living. You ain't thinking about, as my brother said last week in service, you ain't thinking about something like that in Idaho. You know, you think of Idaho, you think about the Dust Bowl, you think about potatoes, you think about rough living. But Yahweh said, I done took you from rough living and then brought you out into the lush life. But now you got a little bit beside yourself. I done wined and dined you, like my man said, you know, I done wined and dined you now, and then you got beside yourself, and now I got to pull back because you forsook me, the one who brought you up and gave you these things. Now that I done did this for you, now you done went and turned your back on me. He said you forsook. And when you look at that word, forsook, Hebrews 5:2-3, the word is natash, a primitive root, properly to pound, that is smite. So think about it. You didn't just turn your back on Yahweh. It's almost like sitting at the dining table with him, and after you got that full meal, and he then gave you all this goodness, you take the last bit of that wine that he gave you, and stand up and go, psh, throw it in his face. Utter disrespect. That's what that word means right there. That's what Yisrael, that's what our foreparents did. 32:16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, provoked they him to anger. Hear this now. they sacrificed unto devils, not to Elohim, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. So he's saying, dude, these dudes fresh, they fresh out the box. These brand new dudes, and y'all running after him? Y'all running after them? Here it is, I've been here all this time, tried and true. But now some new dude comes along, some long, flowing, pretty hair, you know, simply hair. Sometimes he got it pent back, you know, with his little ponytail or whatever. You know, got his jive, little beard, you know, trimmed up mustache, nice blonde hair and blue eyes. And y'all just go fall. Y'all just get giddy over him. Oh, you know, y'all beside yourself with this new kid on the block. Jesus. Oh, I just love this Jesus. Can't get his name out your mouth, even when you become an Israelite. Can't get his name out your mouth because it just sounds so good to you. But he's the one who called me out. So how could the name be wrong? No, he wasn't the one who called you out. Yahweh, through his son Yahushua, called you out. But you want to deny that. You want to forsake that knowledge. But Jesus ain't call you out of nothing. His word called you out. It just so happened that they put that imposter name in there to trick you. But his word is what called you out. His truth is what called you out. So it behooves you to hold on to the truth and not a lie, not that false name. Because it's evil. That's what he said, not me. So don't stone me. I'm just saying. Don't hate the messenger. 32:16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations, provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to Elohim, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up. Caesar Borgia and the image of Jesus only came about, thinking about maybe the 15th or 16th century, only a couple hundred years old. So that's pretty new. When you think about the thousands of years we've been here, we ain't talking about Horus and Osiris. We ain't talking about Mazda. We ain't even talking about Zeus. We ain't even talking about Apollo, Diana, Hades, Jupiter. We ain't talking about none of them. Those are ancient gods. Jesus, a brand new god on the block. Brand spanking new. He ain't even know as old as Buddha. He ain't even as old as the Hindu gods, Krishna and all them jack fools. He ain't nowhere near as old as them. And y'all are so gaga over him. Sadly, a lot of Israelites are gaga over him and want to argue you up and down about how they got the truth. It's really sad. But Yahweh predicted it. Can't say that Yahweh didn't say it was going to happen. Because last I heard, this book was written maybe about 4,000 years ago. So it ain't like it's new. This is something he knew was going to happen. 32:17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to Elohim, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Oh, can't forget Allah. 32:18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten Elohim that formed thee. And when Yahweh saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. You see that, family? You see that? This is what it caused Yahweh to do. It caused Yahweh, this hurt Yahweh so much. He said, you know what? I'm going to pull back. Step away. You know, there's a saying that goes that if you love someone and they're truly yours, that they will always be yours. That if they go away, if they're meant to be yours, they will return to you. But let's look at that word when it says that Yahweh hid his face. It's Hebrews 5:6-1. And the word is sathar, a primitive root to hide by covering, literally or figuratively, to be absent, to keep close, to conceal, to hide self, keep secret. Surely. So that means he kept himself a secret. He hid himself purposely from after they forsook him. This is his word. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very forward. They are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. And what does it mean to be forward? Let's look at that word forward in Yahweh's eyes. The word is Hebrews 84:19. Forgot to remind everybody, bring your tools. The word is tapuka, from Hebrews 20:15, and we'll look at that. A perversity or fraud, very forwardness thing, a perverse thing. So they have become perverse in the eyes of Yahweh. From Hebrews, we're going to look at the embedded word, Hebrews 20:15, and the word is hafak, a primitive root to turn about or over by implication, to change, overturn, return, pervert, to become, change, come, be converted, give, make a bed, overthrow, turn, perverse, retire, tumble, turn, again, aside, back to the contrary, every way. So what they did is, and that word encompasses, they have made their bed with the enemy. They have made their bed with the stranger. They have become bedfellows with the devil. This is what they've done. So because it hurt him so much, he had to hide. He had to step away. Because it hurt him to see that. It hurt him to experience that. Because remember what his word said in Psalms. He said, any other nation, they don't know him. They ain't had this relationship with him. Israel is the only nation that has had an intimate relationship with Yahweh. Israel is the only nation that Yahweh has denuded himself for. He has exposed his most precious parts to Israel. He has allowed Israel to enter his bedchamber. He has allowed them to look beyond the veil. Israel is the only nation that has spent one night with the king. The only nation. No other nation knows him the way Israel knows him. Deuteronomy 32:21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not a power, a mighty one. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. You see what happened? So he said, okay, you don't want me? As much as it hurts me to walk away, I got to. I can't force you. It's like that song, I can't make you love me. I can't. You loving me has to be a choice of your own. But I need love. I need to be in a relationship with somebody. So I'm going to find me somebody, a people who will love me, a people who will appreciate the things that I've done for them, in hopes that one day when your eyes are finally open, you will see the goodness that they have inherited from their relationship with me. They have inherited from their association with me. That they have inherited from this night that they spent with the king. And all the treasures and all the beauty and all the wonderment I will bestow upon them. Maybe one day when your eyes are open, when you have come to your senses, you will see this and it will provoke you to the same jealousy that I was provoked to by seeing you with another god. By hearing you in the midst of our intimacy, call upon another God's name. That's why he went to them. See, and these idiots out there that want to hate them for being in the position that they're in. Don't hate them. Hate yourself. You brought it upon yourself. The reason why he had to set himself up with other nations, with that other nation, was because y'all messed up. See it for what it is and own it. Open your eyes. Turn to him and what he will do then. It ain't going to happen now. But what he will do once you have proved your worth, when he returns, then you will be able to come back into that wedding chamber. Think about the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. He's coming back for his brides, only for those who got enough oil in their lamp and that will tarry through the night and wait for him to return to bring them into the bride chamber. We had that opportunity and we blew it. To put it in common terms, we pissed him off royally. Deuteronomy 32:21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And let's look at that. Let's look at what these vanities are. Teen 92. The word is Hebel. Habel. From 1891, emptiness or vanity, figuratively, something transitory and unsatisfactory. Something transitory means it's always, it's moving. It ain't even here to stay. Vain, vanity. 1891, a primitive root to be vain in act, word, or expectation. Specifically, to lead astray, become, make vain. So they have allowed themselves to be led astray. And it moves our Holy One to jealousy. They moved me to jealousy, that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And when you think about, I believe it's the prophet Hoshea. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Hoshea was the one who went out there and Yahweh told him to make a wife of a harlot. Forgive me, family, if it is not in fact Hoshea, but there's a prophet who Yahweh told him to pick up a harlot. And when you look at the term right here where it says not a people, that is the same term as one of the children that he had with that harlot. Lo, lo, ah, me. So in order to fulfill a portion of his word, he had to send up a prophet who had a wife that was a harlot, and one of their children was called Lo, ah, me, not my people. 32:22. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap up mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of the beasts upon them, with the poisons of serpents of the dust. The sword without the terror, the sword without and terror within, shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hair. Think about what is happening amongst our people out here, family. Think about what is happening from the people who are the fulfillment of what is happening in Deuteronomy 28. They're the fulfillment of this prophecy. Nobody says we've had children as young as, I think, 8 months old, murdered in the black community. And we have had elders as old as 80 years old happen right, not even a mile away from where I live. An 80-year-old man, all he did was go to the corner store, go out to the store, As a matter of fact, I think he was given a ride to somebody and lost his life out there on a cold, rainy day, his blood running in the street. And as far as I know, they haven't caught the assailant yet, but I guarantee you he's from our community, the quote-unquote black community. No offense to anybody that listens, whether you're of diverse persuasions, but there's a message that needs to go out to the people of that prophecy. Truth is truth. No other people on this planet Earth does that prophecy apply to. It is very detailed in what it specifies. It is very detailed on what will befall these people. And if you believe in truth, you can only see it amongst a certain people here in America. Here in the Americas. The only people, there's only one people that happened to, and is continuing to happen to. And his word is true. Deuteronomy 32:25. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among the people. Ask any black person in this country that had their roots in this country. I ain't talking about somebody whose name might be of a diverse persuasion. But when you talk about a black person that has been born in America that can only trace their roots back to slavery, they have no ancestry. They have ancestry whatsoever. None. Okay? And Yahweh said, I said, 32:6, I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. People don't look at black people as Israel. Even people who are part of the movement to gain a higher awareness of the scriptures that are of diverse persuasion, they don't look at us as the people of the book. They don't look at us as anybody to be considered at all. Matter of fact, a lot of them think they are the ones. But none of the prophecies pertain to them. Deuteronomy 32 don't pertain to them. But they will tell you it's about them. No, it's not. 32:27, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and Yahweh hath not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. See, Yahweh had to do particular things. He's got to intervene at some point, because these nations think this is what they're doing. They think they are subjugating his people by their doing. You know why? Because, see, they don't read the Torah. They don't have counsel. When he says they have no counsel, it's because they don't read the Torah. They don't believe in the Torah. So because they don't believe in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, they think that this is something that they have the power to do. Like when Pilate said to Yahushua, don't you know I can set you free? He said, man, don't fool yourself, Jack. You ain't got me in bonds because you strong and you powerful. The only reason why you have me bound is because I gave myself up. And I'm here to fulfill a mission. But don't get it twisted. If at any point I want to be free, I will be freed. But I've gave myself up as a lamb to this slaughter. See, that's when Yahushua would check people. Don't get it twisted. Don't fool yourself. Don't get beside yourself now, buddy. Don't think you got me. I brought myself to you. I gave myself over willingly because that's what my Father's will is for me to do. So don't think that you came looking for me and you caught me as I was on the run or hiding. 32:27. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and Yahweh hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, and that they understood this, and that they would consider their latter end. How should 32:30, how should one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and Yahweh had shut them up? For their rock, 32:31, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. 32:34. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. See, and this is when you talk about in the book of Obadiah, y'all idiots. See, this is what the book of Obadiah is about. The fact that Edom, their brother, took part, their twin brother, coming from the same mother. See, this is why judgment is coming among black Hebrew Edomites. Because if we are black Hebrew Israelites, that means there are black Hebrew Edomites out there as well. We're twins, dummies. And because that we are twin brothers, that means Yahweh has an expectation that you, as your twin brother, would protect your brother. So guess what? This is why we are killing each other in the streets. White people ain't coming into the ghetto and pulling guns on us. Care about the system. Because when you distill it down to the individual does not have to kill his brother. The system ain't making you do that. The system ain't forcing you to do that. Your own evil intentions, your own evil inventions is what's causing you to do that. Not the system. Not the system. So when a black person, a young black man, goes and kills another black man, he is acting as an Edomite and is fulfilling the words of Obadiah. He is acting then as a black Hebrew Edomite. Tell the truth, man. Open your eyes. Get from under that tomfoolery, buffoonery, foolish doctrine that y'all are holding on to. It's stupid. It has no base in the word, man. Sorry, there's no other way to put it. Y'all just dumb. Y'all can't even read. Y'all think y'all literate. Y'all think y'all wise. Y'all can't even read the simple English and understand what the simple English is saying. Let alone try to dig deep and try to quote some Hebrew. You see, man, instead of being teachers, y'all need to be taught. Truth be told, for real, y'all need to be taught. And like I said, simple minds are amused by simple things. And y'all simple ones that enjoy simplicity, y'all got y'all time coming too. It's like what Yahushua told him. He said, don't say Abraham is our father. Don't think Abraham, being a child of Abraham, is going to protect you. That ain't your cover all. That ain't your protect all. That ain't your safety net. Back to 32:34. Is it not this laid up in store with me and sealed among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For Yahweh shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. 32:39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no power with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. That's Yahushua talking right there. If I wet my glittering sword, see in them old kung fu movies, man, where the man draws his sword and it's so bright and blinding. This is what he said, this type of sword he got. He said, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his hand and to his people. 32:44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to do and observe, all the words of this law, all the words of this Torah, this instruction. 32:47. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. I'm going to read that one more time. 32:46-47. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this Torah. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Family, let's not take this blessing that we have for granted. Let's continue in his word. Let's uphold his word. Let's turn back to our first love. Let's not forget what our forefathers did, what our ancestors did to upset our Heavenly Father. This is not a light thing, family. And it is important that those of us that are called out, that we take this very, very seriously. I pray, family, that Yahweh has used me to do his will. I pray that everybody enjoy the rest of their Shabbat. And for my brothers and sisters of Beth Yahweh congregation, I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. And until I see everyone, may Yahweh bless you. Shabbat Shalom, family. And enjoy the rest of your night. Power, oh, the peace.
holy.